find in the morning papers is hard to find in the magazines. It doesn't matter what show you tune in, it's hard to find on TV screen, but it's on talk radio. Truth is on talk radio.
We're back. Second hour of the National Intel Report on Monday. It's the 30th. It's April, folks, and it's 2007. But you are, of course, knew that because you were here in the last hour. And this is a continuation. This is part two of the program today. So let me quit babbling and go to Michael in New York. Hello, Michael.
Hello, John. Thanks for taking my call. John, I just wanted to follow up and first thank you for having Ted Pike back on.
Yes, sir.
Because it's great to listen to Ted. And just a ton of thanks to Ted for all the work he does, John. Like you said, all we got to do is sit in our chairs and make a phone call. Ted is doing all the footwork, all the work, all the time and effort.
Thank you for noticing that. Thank you.
Oh, absolutely. And you know, we owe him so much because he's been nipping this in the bud every time they try to make a move. And I followed up already, contacted all my reps here in New York. And, you know, you speak with the staffers, of course. And you're easy on them. They don't understand the ins and outs for the most part. So you just break them in and you let them know how un-American these activities are. And you voted for these people and you would never vote for them again if they support these, what I made it clear, they're communist or UN-oriented initiatives. And we don't want anything like that in our country.
Good deal.
But, yes, sir. But, you know, thanks for everything, especially Ted. God bless you, Ted. Appreciate all that effort and keeping us posted, and I'll just keep passing the word around, and hopefully we're going to nip this one in the bud, too.
Well, Michael, let me just say this, and I appreciate your kudos, because I've said the very same thing about Ted. I mean, several times he's been on literally the forefront in defeating this, but now we have this Democrat-controlled Congress and Senate. And it's, to them, I think it's just carte blanche. I think they walked into this deal with just the idea that, hey, we're in power, we're going to do anything we want to do now. And that's not the case. So the least we can do in support of people that are on the leading edge of this fight is to support them, like you just said and like I've said many times, you can do this from the comfort of your lazy boy chair in your living room. It's not a big deal. He's already done the groundwork, already laid it all out. The only thing we've got to do is pick up the phone in support of Ted Pike and against censorship here in this country. I thank you for your call, Michael. And
thank you, John.
And I thank you for your support and your endeavors also. That's all it takes, folks. I'm telling you. You know, all is not lost here. You know, I'm feeling this kind of this creeping paralysis that, oh, you know, and I've used the term before on air. It's the doomsayers. Oh, all is lost. No, it's not. If you're still walking and talking and breathing and you're able to put a sentence together, your brain cells are still synapsing to each other, then we have a chance. We always do. And I, for one, and you know me well enough, I've never caught into the idea of defeatism. If that were the case, I never would have done this network. Hell, I could be out there in Florida right now selling aeronizers for pools and be a millionaire. But I am here with you today. You're here with me today. We are, this almost sounds like a Beatles song, we are all together. At any rate, make that call, folks. And I'm going to give you those numbers again. And again, Ted Pike, if you're just tuning in this hour, if you go to Ted Pike's site, and that site is truthtellers.org. By tomorrow night, he will have all the people that are listed in the Senate, and these people are the ones to be targeted first to tell him no on this hate crime garbage. What's wrong with you? Don't you know what the First Amendment to the Constitution is? Do you know what the Constitution is? Can you read? Can you spell Constitution? At any rate, those toll-free numbers are as follows, 877-851-6437. And if for some reason that's not functioning, and sometimes it does go out when there's a heavy volume of calls, I wonder why, but the regular ground line number is 202-224-3125. We shall break. We'll be right back.
World War III? Rising fuel prices? Financial collapse? Trucker strike? North American Union? Our world has become a very fragile place, and we need to be prudent and plan ahead. Don't wait for an impending crisis to become reality. Then it will be too late. Stoves and More wants to help give you freedom from the systems of the world. If the grid is down and fossil fuels are not available to you, how would you heat your home, cook your food, and heat your water? People, we need to be more independent and able to take care of ourselves in a natural disaster, political crisis, or financial crisis. Stoves and More is a dealer for all Amish-built wood cook stoves that will give you the independence you need to cook and bake your food, dry fruits and vegetables, heat your whole house water system, and heat your home. With the right application, you'll be able to use these stoves all year long, not just during the winter months. At Stoves and More, we have the perfect products to complete your preparations. Stoves and More offers the best selection at the lowest prices on the web, so visit us at StovesandMoreOnline.com. Food, water, and a wood cook stove are keys to your survival in a crisis. Take action!
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. Sure, you've got a mortgage and credit cards. Your debt creation is probably the smartest thing you've ever done. How would it be to find $75,000, $150,000, $200,000 or more you never knew you had? Now the task force has strategies to make these debts into virtual savings accounts. Ben Franklin said, a penny saved is a penny earned. By doing nothing more than you're doing right now, because you've used your credit, the right strategies can make the debt part of your financial life the smartest thing you've ever done. Oh, by the way, your strategies cost you nothing out of pocket. Go ahead and check out the debt elimination scams if you'd like to. You wouldn't take money from a loan shark, so you may not want to give your money to a debt shark. For an understanding of what a financial genius you truly are, call 800-409-5633. On the web, mydebtfreepath.com. 800-409-5633.
People who use Cartivite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartivite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartivite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartivite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, few months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartivite link at rbnlive.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822. 8822.
Get ready for Real Talk Radio. You're listening to the National Intel Report with your host, John Stadtmiller.
We're back. I want to jump back into this list because I want to keep some semblance here of continuity and logic to myself today. I need that. It is Monday. It's talking about the DUI illegals that kill pedestrians week after week, month after month, year after year. They just keep doing it. I was going through the list here of people that have been killing people, and these are all illegals, folks. Marcos Ramos Medina, or Medina. Some say potato, some say potato. The 35-year-old Mexican had twice been deported when on August 4, 2005, his car swerved several times across the center line, causing a tractor-trailer rig to jackknife in Yakima, Washington. His car then plowed into a 2000 Lexus driven by Peggy Keller, 53, Dean of Distance Education at Yakima Valley Community College, killing her on the spot. Medina, who's found to have at least 8 aliases and falsely identified himself at his first court appearance, escaped serious injury. The case against the Mexican national was declared a mistrial in last year, because his constitutional right to remain silent had been violated. Whoa, let me stop right here. What constitutional rights does an illegal have in this country? I ask you. Answer that question, they ain't got none. So this guy gets off on a technicality protected under the Constitution, which he's not sworn to uphold and protect. Why? Because he's an illegal alien. Hello. Miguel Gardano Gonzalez, the 43-year-old accused of causing an accident near Lakeland, Florida on August 2nd of 2006, that left Haines City Police Officer Phoenix Braithwaite, 24, deader than a doornail. Gonzalez was driving a van that, while passing two trucks on U.S. 1792, you all have real weird road designations, in Osceola County near Polk County line, hit the officer who was on his way to work. Braithwaite, who was riding his motorcycle, was hit head-on and died at the scene. Gonzalez, an illegal immigrant, was not hurt and fled the scene. Two passengers in a van were also hurt. Are also illegal immigrants. And strike this immigrant crap, folks. Aliens. Illegal aliens. Gonzalez was being held without bail, and the two others were held as material witnesses. You see, there seems to be more of an enforcement when they kill police officers. I guess in somebody's mind, that's more important on the importance scale of who's being run over by these illegals. Which, by the way, a couple of months ago, I'm riding my motorcycle down Gaddis School Road here, right here in Round Rock, Texas. And they had a three-way stop. And I'm sitting there waiting to make a left turn. And the traffic had cleared. There was nobody in the opposing lane sitting there waiting to go or turn or whatever, proceed through the intersection. And something just told me, you better check again. And it's a damn good thing that I did. Because coming right at me, if I would have started to make my turn after I checked to make sure there was nobody else in the intersection, and I had to right away, if I would have made that turn, I would have been dead meat. Two Mexicans in a pickup truck went flying through that intersection. Now, I think there's a speed limit of 40 miles an hour, and these guys had to be doing 55, 60. Well, I immediately turned around. They got caught at the other red light. And I pulled up next to him, and I just was screaming at these two characters. And I first asked him, do you understand English? One of them nodded, and I said, good. I don't want to be an ornament on your pickup truck, you idiot. And I think they were both illegals, all right? So yours truly almost got creamed by one of these characters. And I was hot. Man, was I hot. And I didn't proceed. I didn't pursue it any further because I would have liked to have jerked both of those characters out of that truck, called the police, determined whether these guys were in this country illegally. If they weren't, pickup truck stays right there. You police out there know the drill about impounding stuff. These characters go to jail, and then they're on the fast track to good old Mexico just south of us here. Instant deportation. You're found. Jeez. Folks, aren't we being told every day? We've got terrorism problems, and people are being, they're running around, and they're not being identified, and that's why we have to do all this super sleuth stuff to detect and stick probes up your ear cavities. You know, inquiring minds just want to know, okay, you know we've got a lot of illegals in this country. So why isn't there a program set up to help our good old boys in ICE, the enforcement agency, to swing by at their leisure? I don't have any problem supporting these guys where they sit in our jails with our tax money. Wait a week, 2 weeks, maybe even 3 or 4 weeks. Who gives a hoot? But once you get them out of this country, and more importantly, stop them from coming back in. How many of these stories did I just read you? One of these characters hopped over the border and was deported 17 times. 17. Pastor Rios Sanchez, despite having pleaded guilty to driving without a license in 2005 and similar counts in March and April of last year, Sanchez was still on the road October 27th, 2006, when he crossed the yellow line in Sanford, North Carolina, and collided head-on with a station wagon carrying Helen Megan Hughes, 22, of Somerville, South Carolina, Jennifer Carter, 18, of Jacksonville, North Carolina, and Hughes' stepbrother, 16-year-old Ben Leonard. All three were killed. The 55-year-old illegal alien was allegedly drunk and carrying a forged residency card. Ramiro Gallegos, and excuse me if I'm pronouncing your name incorrectly, you illegal alien, but that's what you are. Don't force me to hate you. I just want you gone. This guy had already been charged on three separate occasions with drunk driving. His fourth offense caused the death of Scott Gardner of Mount Holly, North Carolina, a father of two young children, when the Mexican citizen's truck struck Gardner's station wagon as he drove his family to the coast for a vacation. Well, this guy, the father of two young children, he's on a permanent vacation. He's on the eternal dirt nap. Vitalina Bautista Vargas, neighbors of Luella Winton, said the van driven by Vargas, an illegal alien from Mexico, never slowed down before plowing through Winton's home, knocking the 91-year-old woman who had been asleep in her bed against the wall of the house next door and leaving her under the vehicle outside the house. Winton, by the way, the 91-year-old that has lived 91 years, good full life, but it was preempted by an illegal, ladies and gentlemen, who knows how much longer this lady would have lived. She died of complications from her injuries. Asleep in bed, an illegal is running through her house with a vehicle. Isn't that sweet? Little caution, critics say, is being exercised when it comes to preventing mayhem on America's highways, as the country witnesses record high numbers of unlicensed, unregistered, uninsured drivers, millions of whom are illegal aliens. While no one in our government tracks traffic accidents caused by illegal aliens, the statistical and anecdotal evidence suggest many of last year's 42,636 road deaths involved, guess who? Illegal aliens. Now, why is Mothers Against Drunk Drivers not all over this issue? Why are all these little pet organizations that get all these accolades for trying to keep people safe on America's roads? These are the people that are really behind the zero tolerance laws in this country. And when I say zero tolerance, folks, if you have as much alcohol as you would get from a cap full of scope gargling before you left the house, and just say you were stopped down the street by a police officer, these people would have your license. But where are these nice little organizations, these little concerned mothers about drunk driving deaths on our highways? I just read you the information. They don't know it? Well, they've got their head stuck up a tailpipe someplace. Because I just told you many of the deaths, the 6,000, or I'm sorry, the 42,636 road deaths involved, guess who? The illegal aliens. A report by AAA Foundation for Traffic Safety found 20% of the fatal accidents involve at least one driver who lacks a valid license. In California, another study showed that those who have never held a valid driver's license are about five times more likely to be involved in a fatal road accident than licensed drivers. Now, of course, that's from an insurance company. Now, but anyhow, statistically, that makes them even a greater danger on the road than other drivers whose licenses have been suspended or revoked, and nearly as dangerous as drunk drivers. Well, yeah, and again, my stance on the licensing deal. Y'all remember when you took your driver's test, right? You had to pass a series of questions, and you had to make sure, and the state made sure that you could see. Okay, they'd give you a little test and whatever. And as long as you had a rudimentary understanding of traffic laws and how to read signs, and you could demonstrate at least the minimal ability to operate a motor car on said highway, hey, you got a driver's license. These people don't even have that. Take the break. Come back on the other side. More news and information coming at you, folks. Stay tuned.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously, live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
How are you preparing ahead for the events in the future? In the near future, we know there will be those of us that will not be able to buy or sell. Stoves & More wants to help give you the freedom from the systems of the world and from skyrocketing fuel prices. Stoves & More is a dealer for all Amish-built wood cook stoves that will give you an independence you need to cook and bake your food, dry fruits and vegetables, heat your whole house water system, and heat your home. These state-of-the-art cook stoves are nothing like Grandma's old stoves. They have large, airtight, efficient fireboxes that give you an all-night burn, easily heating up to 2,000 square feet. Whether or not you're off the grid, we have products for you from stoves to Staber washers and 12 and 24 volt refrigeration. At Stoves & More, we have the perfect products to complete your preparations. To the first 10 people who purchase a stove, we'll send a free copy of our newly released DVD, Getting Started with Wood Cook Stoves. Stoves & More offers the best selection at the lowest prices on the web, so visit us at www.stovesandmoreonline.com. That website again, stovesandmoreonline.com.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
V-Dare did this about a week ago. They did a post, is it wrong for us to call ourselves Americans? Although we realize that the term American is commonly used to refer to U.S. population, we view American as including other North and South Americans as well. Therefore, we have tried to limit the use of this term when referring to the United States. These words of wisdom are from the Introduction to Multicultural Education in a Pluralistic Society, a book that VDare.com columnist Athena Carey has informed us was foisted upon education majors in her university. So, you're just a little globo citizen of North America. So, is it wrong for us U.S. citizens of the USA to call ourselves Americans? Last year, there was a proposal in the Michigan Department of Education to prohibit the use of term Americans from referring to U.S. citizens, and Karen Todorov, the social studies advisor to the Michigan Department of Education, went so far as to assert that it is ethnocentric, I didn't even know that was a word, ethnocentric, for the United States to claim the entire hemisphere. Mrs. Todorov's point of view did not carry the day at the Michigan Department of Education, by the way. Not yet, anyway. After the outcry over the proposal last year, Michigan Superintendent Mike Flanagan released a statement to reassure Michiganders that we are not seeking to do away with the terms America or American from classroom instruction. It's not going to happen. He says, I consider myself an American. We live in the United States of America. We are citizens of the United States of America. We're Americans. Well, good for Superintendent Flanagan, but given what kind of crazy ideas are taken seriously in education departments, Ms. Todorov yet may be triumphant. And by the way, and I don't speak Spanish, so I'm going to butcher this one. That U.S. citizens are not only Americans is a stock argument in Mexico. It has led Mexicans to utilize different names to refer to U.S. citizens. Now, there is one that they use. I'm going to butcher this. I no hablo Spanish, okay? Estandadens, I do believe that is. This is Spanish for United Statesian. Kind of Orwellian sounding, isn't it? It sounds ugly in both languages, and I just butchered it, made it even sound even uglier than what it is. That's the term that is used. However, the term, and I'm going to try this one more time, estadounidense doesn't solve the problem. The official name of Mexico in Los... Jeez, I can't speak this stuff. By the way, it means the United States of Mexico. So technically, you could also call a Mexican one of these kind of North American citizens, I guess. By the way, how many people, you know, how much hate is involved here? Because I have yet to hear a pronounced debate using the term wetbacks or taco benders or anything else. But they have a high disdain for us, ladies and gentlemen. Gringo is a common term used to refer to Americans. It has an interesting history, by the way. It derives from Spanish griego, which means Greek. So I don't... Remember the English saying, it's all Greek to me? It's apparently based on a line in Shakespeare's Julius Caesar, Act 1, Scene 2. But for my own part, it was Greek to me. Now, the bard Spanish contemporary Cervantes expressed a similar thought in the classic Don Quixote. In one passage, two laborers at a receiving end of Don Quixote's discourses, as a result, todo esto para los labradores era hablis, era gringo, and whatever else. All this, by the way, was Greek or gibberish to the laborers. The basic idea of gringo is that a foreigner whose native tongue sounds like gibberish. Spanish speakers certainly understand the link between language and culture. Being called a gringo doesn't necessarily offend me, according to this writer, since the term could be positive or negative depending on the context. Really? If I start using wetback or gringo, I wonder if the same thing would apply. So this brings us back to square one. Even though Latin Americans, these substitutes for American, don't really solve the problem, and many ordinary Mexicans aren't offended by all this and call us Americanos, but the chattering classes and the intellectuals insist on pressing the point. In the U.S., school children are taught that there are seven continents, Europe, Asia, Africa, Australia, Antarctica, North America, and South America. In Mexico, the school children are taught that there are five continents, Europe, Asia, Africa, Oceania, and America, meaning North America and South America. For the Mexicans, the term America refers to the entire hemisphere, so technically, Americano refers to any inhabitant in the hemisphere. And evidently, we're an uncommon people separated by a distinct language, and I praise God for that. In Mexico, there are a number of cities and states with the same name. For example, Chihuahua. The city is capital of Chihuahua, the state, but the residents of either the city or the state are called Chichuanese. Enough of this garbage. We'll take the break. We'll be right back. Just send them home. I don't want a second language. I don't want 40 million illegals in this country. I don't want your illegal alien butts here. Go home. Go drink and go kill somebody down there, okay? Leave us gringos the heck alone. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
We've all considered solar power at one time or another, and self-sufficiency will be your key to a better future. Ken Solar can help you get off the grid and become self-sufficient with solar power, and for a lot less than you would think. One of Ken's most popular items right now is the new solar power generator, for a lot less than you'd expect. This portable system can chop off nearly a third of your electric bill, a good start for any families out there wanting to get solar power for your home. Visit Ken's website at kensolar.com for free downloads, free videos, and how-tos, and of course, the new solar power generator. Use the coupon code RBN with your purchase and save an additional 10% off your order. Get a solar power generator now from kensolar.com at 239-677-3073. Again, that's 239-677-3073 or on the web at kensolar.com. Ken Solar, the home of all your solar needs.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits. No increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
The Republic Broadcasting Network is very proud to present a new educational tool that will inform and update our listeners to the most critically important topics and issues of the day. This new 50 CD collection contains invaluable information, carefully selected from the very best shows in the RBN archives. These standard format CDs have been painstakingly edited to remove all commercials and unrelated topic content. Each CD has been divided into multiple tracks for ease of use and review in any standard CD player. Each CD targets a specific subject matter. For example, Agenda 21, vaccinations, 9/11, depleted uranium, the war in Iraq, fluoride, deception in the churches, genetically modified foods, animal RFID tags, and many more topics. We encourage you to make copies and get them out to as many people as you can. Call and order your library CDs for the price of $150, 800-724-2719, or go to the website rbnlive.com.
You're tuned in to the National Intel Report, the Real Talk Radio Show.
All right, folks. By the way, here's another action alert here. How was that on your old sound meter there? Came up, didn't it? Action alert. People have until tomorrow at the close of the workday in Washington, D.C. to phone in their no stance, and I haven't even covered this, to oppose the terrible bill, the Food and Drug Administration Revitalization Act, S-1082. By the way, when you're making those calls on the hate crimes, you may want to mention that one. Now, call and leave a message for your congressman. And I don't know why they're saying this. It says call and leave a message for Congressman John Campbell at that 202-225-5611, or we have the toll-free number for you. That's right, 877-851-6437. That number again. I know you're scrambling for a pen as I speak and a piece of paper. Write it on your hand. Who cares? 877-851-6437. For people on the West Coast, remember there is a 3-hour time difference and 2 hours Mountain Standard Time. And thank you, Dennis Sr., for sending that over. And I'm looking at all the people that he'd sent this to. Robbie Noel got this. Steve Quayle got this. Of course, Sandra at RBN, Sandra at republicbroadcasting.org. A ton of people got this. So while you're making that phone call on the hate bill, tell them, hey, by the way, Food and Drug Administration Revitalization Act, the S-1082. And again, this is the farmer cartel, ladies and gentlemen. They want to regulate your vitamins. They want to regulate everything, natural remedies, cures, everything else. This is the big money coming to bear with our Congress critters so they can control everything that you do, everything that you take, every remedy that you come up with on your own. And by the way, folks, I don't know if you recognize this or not. The pharmaceutical companies are in the business of replicating what is found in nature. That's right. Narcotics is good for your health. Occupation forces support narcotics trade. And why am I looking at a story that the right half is cut off? I will get that here back up on site here in a second. Let me see if I have it in. Okay, let me see if I can do this. I'm tap dancing as fast as I can go. Here we go. Got it. Is that fast or what? Nope. Wrong story. Bear with me, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. We'll have to, Ken, can you do me a favor? Can you come here? As he walks around the partitioned office here. Okay, do me a favor. Scare that up for me. Print it on landscape so I can read it. All right, thanks. Let me move on to this while he's doing that. Trial by jury on verge of extinction, folks. Democracy is at risk. Raw story came from Raw Story the April 29th yesterday. According to a story in tomorrow's New York Times, meaning today, trials by jury are on the verge of extinction and are being replaced by settlements and plea deals, by mediations and arbitrations, and by decisions from judges. In fact, only 1.3% of federal civil cases ended up in trials this year, and that was down from 11.5% in 1962. Deal or no deal? The Times points out that in particular that in criminal cases, the vast majority of prosecutions end in plea bargains and quotes a judge as complaining that defendants who have the temerity to request the jury trial guaranteed under them, or rather to them under the U.S. Constitution, face savage sentences that can be 5 times as long as those meted out to defendants who plead guilty and cooperate with the government. Just throw up your hands and say, I'm guilty. Get it over with. The trend in criminal cases in state courts are broadly similar, though not always quite as striking. But it is beyond dispute that even as the number of lawyers has grown twice as fast as the population, and even as the number of lawsuits has exploded, actual trials have become quite rare. Instead of hearing testimony, ruling on objections, and instructing jurors on the law, judges spend most of their time supervising the exchange of information, deciding pretrial motions, and dealing with settlements and plea bargains. Why do I feel like Howie Mandel? Deal or no deal? Now, the movement away from jury trials is not just a societal relocation of resources or a policy choice. Rather, it represents a disavowal of the most stunning and successful experiment in direct popular sovereignty in all of history. Indeed, Juries were central to the framers of the Constitution, who guaranteed the right to a jury trial in criminal cases, and to the drafters of the Bill of Rights, who referred to juries in the Fifth, Sixth, and Seventh Amendments. Jury trials may be expensive and time-consuming, but the jury, local and populist, is a counterweight to central authority and is important an element in the constitutional balance as the two houses of Congress, the three branches of government, and the federal system itself. I don't know if you remember this, folks. Jump in your Wayback Machine here. And think about the ex-football player. That's right. He was found not guilty in a criminal trial. And I'm speaking of O.J. Simpson. But it was later found guilty and in a civil trial. I guess the preponderance of evidence is different. But my argument was that, well, wait a minute. If your shyster lawyers got you off of murdering two people, isn't it kind of a double jeopardy thing? Oh, no. But that only applies to the original cause and the original case in a criminal action. So even though that O.J. Simpson, and I'm no fan of O.J., and I think he did kill those two people, okay. But why is it that a civil court can get a hold of this and the guy can be found guilty because the preponderance of evidence is a little bit more liberal in a civil case? I'm not a judge or a lawyer, folks, but that stinks to me. And while I'm waiting for that other article, I just shooshed my producer right out of the room. Did you ever wonder why they do hate us? Welcome to History 101, folks. Do you ever wonder why they do hate us? And what we're talking about is not only people in the Middle East, but basically worldwide. I mean, we're just a peaceful nation, right? The president tells us that it's because we're free. I submit that the real reason makes a lot more sense. For over 100 years, we've been intervening, translation, murdering, people in this country and other countries all over the planet. Okay, now before you write all this off as some kind of anti-American whack job, I'd like to challenge you to try to remember how many wars, military incursions we've been involved in. And yes, it's okay to crack open your kid's history book. That is, if they're fortunate enough to attend school where they still actually teach history. Because chances are that you won't even find many of them in those books either. And let's see, there's World War I and World War I Part II, Korea, Vietnam. Let's not forget Grenada, Panama, and maybe a few others, right? Guess again. With sincere thanks to Zoltan Grossman, I present you with this list, and the following is only a partial list of U.S. military interventions from 1890 to 1999. See, it doesn't even include the Iraq deal or Afghanistan. This guide does not include demonstration duty by military police, mobilizations of the National Guard, offshore shows of naval strength, reinforcement of embassy personnel, the use of non-defense department personnel such as the Drug Enforcement Agency, military exercise, non-combat mobilization, such as replacing postal strikers, the permanent stationing of armed forces, covert actions where the U.S. did not play a command and control role, the use of small hostage rescue units, most uses of proxy troops, U.S. piloting of foreign warplanes, foreign disaster assistance, military training, and advisory programs not involving direct combat, civil action programs, and many other military activities. It won't take long to realize that we've been at war with everybody, including ourselves, for over 100 years, even though we thought it was peacetime. My question is not, why do they hate us? It is, why haven't they ganged up and wiped us off the face of the map a long time ago? If I may offer a radical idea, in a country which prides itself in doing what's right, that considers itself to be the champion of the underdog, that supposedly stands for liberty and freedom, it is time to stand up and scream at the top of our lungs, enough, enough of this insanity. These are real people dying, people with mothers and fathers, sisters and brothers, and if we don't stop this history from continuing, then we damn well deserve anything that we get. And may God have mercy on us all. Thank you, Mr. Bill Adams, for that piece. Boy, it barely fit on the landscape, didn't it? Somebody ought to call Global Research up and tell them to format their stories better for the websites for printing. Because they don't even have... Oh, they got the button on there, print that article. Okay, we missed that. My apologies to Global Research. Heroin is good for you. How stupid do we feel right now, huh? Okay. Multi-billion dollar earnings for organized crime in Western financial institutions by Michael Chuzodowski. And he writes a lot for Global Research out of Canada. The occupation forces in Afghanistan. This is what I referred to earlier, folks, about there's a lot of junkies worldwide rejoicing because they're going to be able to get their fix at probably lower cost. The occupation forces in Afghanistan are supporting the drug trade, which brings between $120 and $194 billion of revenues to organized crime, intelligence agencies, and Western financial institutions. The proceeds of this lucrative multi-billion dollar contraband are deposited in Western banks. Almost the totality of revenues accrue to corporate interest and criminal syndicates outside Afghanistan. The Golden Crescent drug trade, launched by the CIA in the early 1980s, continues to be protected by U.S. intelligence in liaison with NATO occupation forces and the British military. In recent developments, British occupation forces have promoted opium cultivation through paid radio advertisements. A radio message broadcast across the province assured local farmers that the NATO-led International Security Assistance Force, that's the ISAF, in case you're keeping track, would not interfere with poppy fields currently being harvested. You get busted in this country for growing a pot plant, adios amigos. But over there, you can grow poppy, man. You can grow opium. And then you can hear reassurances via your radio. Don't worry, we're not going to interrupt your production. How insane is this? Respected people of Hemland, the soldiers of the ISAF and the ANA do not want to destroy poppy fields, it said. They know that many people of Afghanistan have no choice but to grow poppy. The ISAF and the ANA do not want to stop people from earning their livelihoods. That was quoted, by the way, in The Guardian a couple of days ago. I can't believe I'm sitting here reading this. Because I've warned people about this before. The Taliban that were in Afghanistan, folks, weren't a bad lot of people. You know, if you were into growing opium and doing drug stuff over there, guess what? You weren't around the next day to harvest your crop. You went bye-bye. I can't believe this. While the controversial opium ads have been casually dismissed as an unfortunate mistake, there are indications that the opium economy is being promoted at the political level, including the British government of Tony Blair. The Senlis Council, spelled S-E-N-L-I-S, an international think tank specializing in security and policy issues, is proposing the development of licit opium exports in Afghanistan, with a view to promoting the production of pharmaceutical painkillers such as morphine and codeine, according to the Senlis Council. The poppies are needed and, if properly regulated, could provide a legal source of income to impoverished Afghan farmers while at the same time depriving the drug lords and the Taliban of much of their income. What did I just say? The Taliban was against this, folks. Oh, so now they're saying that we need to regulate this because, well, it's fueling the Taliban terrorist. What kind of twisted pretzel logic crap do they think that we're willing to swallow? Do you word twisters out there have any idea that there's actually people on this planet that can think for themselves? You must be missing that point. The Senseless campaign is part of a propaganda campaign. It has contributed to providing a false legitimacy to Afghans' opium economy, which ultimately serves powerful, and I do mean and underscore powerful, vested interest. How much opium acreage is required to supply a pharmaceutical industry is a question. According to the International Narcotics Control Board, the INCB, which has a mandate to examine issues pertaining to the supply and demand of opiates used for medical purposes, and here's a quote out of the Asian Times of February of last year, the supply of such opiates has for years been at levels well in excess of global demand. The INCB has recommended reducing the production of opiates due to oversupply. At present, India is the largest exporter of licit opium. I guess that's, what is that? Licit means what? The opposite of illicit, which would imply legal? Okay. India's opium latex is sold to licensed pharmaceutical and or chemical manufacturing firms such as, and I can't pronounce this, Mallinckrodt and Johnson & Johnson under rules established by the UN Commission on Narcotics Drugs and the International Narcotics Control Board, which require an extensive paper trail. I'll finish up with this, folks. I can't believe I'm sitting here reading. We told you this over a couple of years ago. We'll be right back.
World War III, rising fuel prices, financial collapse, trucker strike, North American Union. Our world has become a very fragile place, and we need to be prudent and plan ahead. Don't wait for an impending crisis to become reality. Then it will be too late. Stoves and More wants to help give you freedom from the systems of the world. If the grid is down and fossil fuels are not available to you, how would you heat your home, cook your food, and heat your water? People, we need to be more independent and able to take care of ourselves in a natural disaster, political crisis, or financial crisis. Stoves and More is a dealer for all Amish-built wood cook stoves that will give you the independence you need to cook and bake your food, dry fruits and vegetables, heat your whole house water system, and heat your home. With the right application, you'll be able to use these stoves all year long, not just during the winter months. At Stoves and More, we have the perfect products to complete your preparations. Stoves and More offers the best selection at the lowest prices on the web, so visit us at stovesandmoreonline.com. Food, water, and a wood cook stove are keys to your survival in a crisis. Take action!
PersonAlarms.com has all your self-defense needs. Check out our cell phone stun gun. Excellent protection from would-be attackers. It truly looks like a real cell phone. Also, check out our new electronic barking dog alarm. Containing microwave technology, this electronic watchdog sees through walls. The electronic barking dog alarm works when an intruder comes within 15 feet. The barking dog alarm will begin barking like a true-to-life angry German Shepherd. The closer the intruder comes, the more frequent and more threatening the barking becomes. You can purchase stun guns, stun batons, pepper spray, telephone voice changers, martial arts instructional DVDs, and the same tasers that you have seen the police use on TV and more at www.personalarms.com. That's www.personalarms.com. Or call 1-201-641-1442. Come visit us, personalarms.com. Don't be afraid anymore. Receive a free pepper spray by mentioning RBN when you place your online order. We will not sell items prohibited by any state, county, or law.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. The J. Michael Stevens Group is shipping a lot of storable food. It's smart that you're getting going at your food supplies. 1 week after the report came out that the world had eaten more food than it produced last year, the country turned into a deep freeze, wiping out a huge part of the new crop. An example? In 24 hours, clementine oranges doubled in price. If you intend to start or finish your supply, call immediately. When you call, tell them how many adults and how many years of food you need. When there are shortages, missing items will be substituted, maintaining the quantity of food necessary. Money is not the problem. Availability is. Be careful. When food supplies get short, with no future, many retailers ship real trash to supply you. For safe food you can trust, call 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. 800-409-5633.
Crown. another ragtag band declaring independence. Laid their bodies down on a bloody war, and liberty for their descendants. Thanks to the renegades, we're free today. Thanks to the renegades.
Yes, folks, we're free today, except we're prohibited by federal law. At present, as I said, India is the largest exporter, did I say exploiter, of illicit opium. But we have a problem here with the soaring Afghan opium production. The United Nations has announced that opium poppy cultivation in Afghanistan has soared. There was a 59% increase in areas under opium cultivation in 2006. Production of opium is estimated to have increased by 49% in relation to 2005. The Western media in chorus blame the Taliban and the warlords. Western officials are said to believe that the trade is controlled by 25 smugglers, including three government ministers. Yet in a bitter irony, U.S. military presence has served to restore rather than eradicate the drug trade. Opium production has increased 33-fold from 185 tons in 2001 under the Taliban to 6,100 tons in 2006. Cultivated areas have increased 21-fold since the 2001 U.S.-led invasion. What the media reports fail to acknowledge is that the Taliban government was instrumental in 2000 and 2001 in implementing a successful drug eradication program with the support and collaboration of the UN. Implemented in 2000-2001, the Taliban's drug eradication program led to 94% decline. Let me read that again. 94% decline in opium cultivation. In 2001, according to UN figures, opium production has fallen to 185 tons immediately following the October 2001 U.S.-led invasion. Production increased dramatically, regaining its historic levels. Now, the Vienna-based UN Office on Drugs and Crime estimates that the 2006 harvest will be in the order of 6,100 tons, 33 times its production levels of 2001. That is a increase of 3,200% in 5 years, folks. Yes, we're winning hearts and minds and lining a lot of pockets. According to the UN, Afghanistan supplies in 2006 some 92% of the world's supply of opium, which is used to make heroin. That's why I said, you know, the yippee-ki-yay out there of the street junkie, I'm sure they're jumping up and down over this. The UN estimates that for 2006, the contribution of the drug trade to the Afghan economy is on the order of $2.7 billion. I got an idea. Why don't we just pay these people not to grow opium? Because I think we've spent at least $2.7 billion in the last 5 years in Afghanistan. What do you think, folks? Do you think we should be paying Afghanis not to grow opium right now? And do you think our five-year incursion into that country has cost a little bit more than $2 point some billion? Hell, they pay farmers in this country not to grow certain crops. Why don't we pay the Afghanis and then we can pull our troops out of there? Apparently, all they want is the cash. Ah, yes, but the drug lords, the CIA, certain politicians, Tony Blair and his gang, they want that opium flowing, folks. That's the war on drugs. They want it in your streets of America so they can continue their phony fight against it. That'll do it for us today, ladies and gentlemen. Join me tomorrow. We've got some pertinent information from Bob Chapman and the International Forecaster. Be with me tomorrow, first hour with Bob Chapman. Until then, let's celebrate the Taliban, those drug terrorists. We'll see you tomorrow.
With recent